Today's amazing daf in Masechet Erevin is daf Samachet. Oof, boy, oh boy, we're really getting ahead over here. What are we going to do if we have to leave Erevin behind? Oh my gosh, maybe we should start going backwards. To Chazorah. Okay, anyway, we were holding on the bottom over here of Omud Beis on Samach Zayin, and what happened was that Abaya said, look, you know, I was going to tell Rabba that he's wrong about that deal that he said, where the Mila was not going to take place because the water, hot water had spilled, and Abaya was about to complain to Rabba that how could he say to a goy that the goy should bring the hot water. And Rabbi Yosef stepped on his foot and told him to shut up because it's a drabbanan. We spoke about that whole thing. If it's a drabbanan, what is it? Who cares? It's all okay. But then the last thing that we learned is that Rabbi Yosef said, okay, now that it's over, what exactly were you going to complain about? Like, what's the problem of asking the guy to bring the hot water? So that's where we were up to. Omar lay on the last line on Samach Zayin Amud Beis. Omar lay, so Rabbi said, I'll tell you what I was going to ask. I was going to ask him that you have a braita that says that Hazaah Shavut and Amiral Nochri is Shavut. So being Maza, a person from the Pora Aduma, who's Tome, it's only Osir on Shabbos because it's similar to being Betaken Keli, and so it's Rabbon and Osir, just like Tvila, they Osir using the ashes of the Pora Aduma. And the same thing is true. Now this they Osir, even if it turns out that he won't be able to eat his Korban Pesach. So the guy would be Tahar if they would allow him to sprinkle, but they're not allowing him to sprinkle. So he's not going to be able to eat a Korban Pesach and he's missed out on his Korban Pesach, even though it's only Darabonin. They said, you can't do it. Now, Amiral Anochri, telling a guy to do something for you on Shabbos is no different than sprinkling from the Paradum. It's also Nisa Darabonin. So I don't understand why you think that just because Mila is an important mitzvah, therefore you can ignore the Nisa Darabonin. After all, ma hazaa shvut ve'ina docha at Shabbat, are we agreed that it's a shvus, it's not docha for Shabbos, even though we're talking about a mocha mitzvah where it's Erev Pesach, he's not going to be able to eat his Korban Pesach. It doesn't matter. So over here, the same thing is true. How could I tell the goy to go bring the hot water? It's a shvus, and even though you're right, it's a very important mitzvah, and it's a mitzvah just like Korban Pesach, with a chi of koras, which is the chosh of a mitzvah, I say, ain't a doch as a Shabbos. So what right did you have to do it? She shouldn't have asked the goy to carry the hot water out. Oh, my lace, Rabbi Yosef, I don't understand. You don't see the difference between the two cases? V'lo shanilacha, ben shvut de'it be'ma'aseh, le'ben shvut de'let be'ma'aseh. Now, there's two very different ways of learning this, and it depends very much on the girsa, and there's two fundamentally different approaches in the Rishonim. With this girsa, note the following words. Dohamar lo omar lanochri zilachem. I mean, what was your problem? Rabbi didn't say to the guy, go heat up some water, which for a Yisrael, obviously, would be an Isser D'oraita. He only told him to bring the water into a chotzer. And that's an Isser Darabonan. So the Isser Darabonan of the Shvus, for Goy, to be told to do something, Enochinami, that Iker Isser is to tell him to do an Isser D'oraisa. He didn't tell him to do an Isser D'oraisa. The Darabonan, on a Darabonan, to tell a Goy to bring the water into a chotzer, didn't have an Erev. For a mitzvah, that's mutter. There's a big difference between the two cases. That is the Girsa that we have here that not everybody has. And the Pashtus, if you don't have the Girsa, then the issue would be that it's a difference between just saying something, which is the Amira La'akum, is a Shvus, in which you're just talking, you're not doing, and the other case, in which you're actually being Doicha by being Maze. So there's very different approaches. According to the way that we have the gears over here. So then that would fit in with the understanding that the Rif has in the Sugya, which is that, in fact, Amir Lanochri is Osir, but Amir Lanochri is only Osir b'moka mitzvah if you're telling him to do an Isser D'oraita. According to the other Girsa, which there are many Choshev Rishonim that have, and they take out that line, so then there's a difference between doing a Shvus with your own Maisa, such as doing the Hazaya of the Paraduma, versus the issue of simply telling the guy, just to speak, you could tell him to do anything, even if it would be a deraisa. And then the words, well, Rabbah didn't tell him to heat up the water, would of course be absurd. They would have nothing to do with the issue over here, because we weren't differentiating between telling him to heat up water or telling him to bring water into a chatzar without an Erev. Okay, but whatever the pshat is, don't you see that it's a different? Omerle Rabbah Baruch Hanan Abaye, I just don't understand this story. You're telling me that you and Rabbah both lived in the same chatzar, and then when an emergency came up, you're sitting there, we forgot to make an Erev, we forgot to make a Shitov. How in the world does it happen that in a Mavoi that has two great rabbis, that there's no Shitov and there's no Erev? It's outrageous. Omar Lay, so Abaye says, what do you want from us? What are we supposed to do? I mean, listen, Rabbah is not, it's not his position. It's very not Lefi Kvodo. What's he supposed to be going around and knocking on everybody's door and asking for the Erev? I mean, you want Rabbah to do that? That's outrageous. Of course he can't do it. So me, okay, I can't do it because I'm busy learning, you know? I mean, what am I, waste my whole day making an Erev? What do you want from me? As far as the other guys around here, they don't give a hang. They don't notice. They don't even notice. So, you know, lo mashkechet. So I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, okay, but what's the big deal? I mean, what you're saying, you're so busy and learning. What, you don't have a minute to go to the bathroom? How long does it take to make an Erev? You know, you don't have to go running around from door to door. You can give them a little bit of bread that you have in your house, put it into a basket, say, this bread is for the Erev. And that's all you need to say. And then you're basically mezaka them, and that creates an Erev or a Shitov and a Mavoi. I'll tell you why I can't do that, okay? Because Kivan, now this is the source of a very important halacha, that Kivan de ibo le minoi, v'lo efshel le'atve ni'alayu, botel ha-shitov. If somebody would ask me for the challah that I put aside for them in this basket for purposes of the shitov, and they'd say, I'm very hungry, and I need a piece of challah, so can I take the challah that you were so kindly put into the shitov? I would have to, unfortunately, say, no, I can't afford to give everybody challah. I mean, I can go through the motions, but I certainly can't really give you my challah. I'm a poor man, you know? So if that's the case, the din is, and Tosfos says, be very careful about this when you actually participate in an Erev. Because, yes, of course, everybody figures, okay, the Erev, then after Shabbos, I get the food back, and so it's not a problem. They'll keep it in the freezer meanwhile. But the truth is that if somebody would want it, and you cannot afford to give it, it's not a good Erev. The whole Erev is going to be mitbatel. And therefore, I didn't give it to them, because the Braita says, if one of the guys in a Mavoi wanted to drink the wine or to use the oil for salad dressing, and they didn't give it to him, the whole shit of his bottle. So I know I couldn't give it to him. Okay, so we didn't have anything to do. So says Rabbah Baruch Hanan, even so, I mean, there's a very simple solution. I mean, there's stuff that you really do not need to be worried about. I mean, look, you got a big barrel that you keep in the garage for vinegar, right? I mean, everybody's got a barrel of vinegar. So put the barrel of vinegar in the chutzner to be used as the shita for the mavi, and say that one revius of that vinegar. Tosfos says, this, of course, is the machlokas we had between Rashi and Tosfos before about how do we paskin when it comes to a chutzner to the Mavoi as opposed to the Bayit to the Chatzar. According to Rashi, remember at the beginning of Bekol Ma'arvim, so Rashi said this refers to all three Eruvim, and it includes the Eruvim Chatzeres. Tosfos says, no, we don't paskin that way. We paskin, as we'll see later, that the Eruv Chatzeres is only Bepat, like Rabbi Yoshua, and Rashi keeps insisting that we can be talking in the different cases, like here, we could be talking about an Eruv in a Chatzar. We cannot. We can only be talking about in a sheet of Mavos, where you don't need pot. So Tosfos understands that what we're talking about over here is take the barrel of vinegar out of the garage and put it in the chatzar, and then say that one of the revias in this barrel, you're being miyachet for the Erev. I mean, come on, even a guy like you can afford to give a guy a revias of vinegar from the big barrel of vinegar. You got it, it's 2 cents. So why couldn't you just do that? Says Abaya, I can't do that, excuse me, because the Braita says you cannot use stored food as an Erev. When I say Otsar, I don't mean it's the storage per se. It's the fact that it isn't clearly defined. In other words, to say in a big barrel, somewhere in there, there's one Revius for my Erev. Okay, how about the next time I take out some vinegar for my salad dressing? How do I know that I haven't taken out that vinegar? And then that destroys the Erev. Huh? How do I know? Destroys the Shitov. So you know how we know. Of course, we know through Brera. Ha! We had also your Brera before. So if this was the vinegar that you took for your salad dressing, it surely was not destined to be the vinegar for the Erev, right? And that's Brera. So whichever one turns out to be the one that's left is the one that was used for the Erev, just like the Kone Yayin Ben Akutim. Aha! That's exactly the issue that we're about to get into, because the Gemara says, what do you mean? It says you can't use a big barrel of vinegar. There's another braita that says you can use a big barrel of vinegar. V'atani mishtatfim, says Rav Hoshaya, this is not a problem. One is going alibi Beit Shammai, who, the way Rav Hoshaya understands, it's Beit Shammai who holds that we don't say Breira. And the other one is going alibi Beit Hillel, and Beit Hillel does hold a Breira, which of course is weird, because then it would turn out that Abaya would be going according to Beit Shammai, which doesn't make any sense. Tosis explains that he doesn't buy into that explanation of the Machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. He understands the whole Machlokas, which of course is a derivation of the Mishnah in Olos that we're learning. And therefore, how could you learn Erevin without learning Olos, as we're about to see? So Abaya disagrees with that. But this is exactly where we're holding in Olos, is this sugya. Because the Mishnah says, if the mate is in the bayit, exactly what we were just talking about, sof tumalat seit, right? So you have a mate. Now you know why I never managed to get ahead in Olos. Oh, well, wouldn't it be nice? So anyway, the sof tumalat seit question is you have a mace inside of a house, and there's lots of doors and windows and so on. All of them are closed. Then anything that is under the space of the entryway, which is would normally not be tummy if the house is closed. But over here, we have this new halach of sof tuma latzeit. Sof tuma latzeit means that if there is a need to remove tuma from a house, if you don't have a selected door or window through which it's going to be removed, then every single petach, even though they're all the same because they're all closed, every single petach is tameh. If you open one or one is chosen, so then it's all becomes tahor except for the one that you take the mace out. Now, the question is it all tahor back in time because of Brera? That now, since this was the door that was open, so now this is the only one that was tummy all along, and anything that was under any of the other canopies or whatever from those are all, everything under there is tahor. Or is it only defining from this point forward what is considered to be tahor in the rest of the house, and this one being tummy? That, of course, is defined by Brera, which is the question whether there is a connection between the past and the present through which there is some type of causal relationship between what happens in the end and what was meant to happen in the beginning. So now, the question over there is a machlokas. So it says, niftach echad mehem, hu tamei v'kulam tori. The moment you open up the door, from that point forward, for sure, that's the only one that's tamei. Now, suppose you had in mind, you decided that you're going to open up one of these doors and remove the mate through that door, or you've got a large window, which is 4x4 tefachim, as we just learned in the Mishnah in Olos, that in order to remove a mace or anything larger than a kezayis basim and a mace, you would need to have 4x4, not just tefach al tefach. I'm taking advantage of the time, of course, to give you a secret politically paid announcement to remember the Mishnah in Olos. So then over there is that single door of 4x4 for a mace shalom is matzil al kol ha'ptuchot p'tachim kulam. Everything else is tahor. Says Beit Shammai, well, everything is tar, only if this was decided before the guy died. I mean, you can't redefine the past by deciding in the future. So if that were done before the person had died, so then the tuma at his death is only going to exit the house through that petach. But you can't ex post facto now tell me that this was the door all the way at the beginning, Whereas Beit Hillel says, no, it makes absolutely no difference. Why? Apparently, because of the Brera. So Beit Hillel Omrim, Af Mishiel Mutamid, it would still work. So because of this, the Brera that says you can go ahead and make a Shituf with an Otsar, which means even though I don't know which Revius of Chometz is going to be the Revius that is going to be used, I don't need to know. Because I never have a Chashash that I'm going to be eating that vinegar for my salad dressing and ruining the Erev because of Brera, whichever one ended up being there, that was the one that was, in fact, the one that was for the Erev. But the first Brayta that says you're not allowed to use Otzer, that would be going on Libet Beit Shammai. Okay, now, there were a few Maisim like this, where water spilled right before a Bris Milah on Shabbos, and they had to deal with it. So it was another story of a Yanuka that was about to get a Bris Milah, where they poured out the water by accident. And in that case, Rava told them, okay, ask mommy whether she feels sick and she needs some hot water. Because if she needs some hot water, even though obviously she's beyond the 7-day limit of Yoledet, if the child is 8 days old, but even if after 7 days a Yoledet says that she doesn't feel well, you can ask a goy to warm up the water. So if that would be the case, then nachim le nachri, agav ime, because the mother needs it, so let a goy warm up the water, and that would be okay. Now, obviously, this has everything to do, if you're telling me the goy has to heat up the water, so then that would be basically the girsa of the Rif. I never would have told a goy, that was the girsa we had in the earlier part, that, well, I wouldn't have told a goy to warm up the water over there. I only told him to bring out the water into a chotzer that doesn't have an Erev. That was the girsa that says that Rebbe didn't say to warm up the water. That is the Riv's girsa, which works perfectly well over here. Because over here, I want to tell the goy to actually heat up the water on Shabbos. And in order for me to be mutter to tell the goy to heat up the water on Shabbos, I need to have a mother who is somewhat ill, and therefore, they weren't gozer amir lanachri even to do an iser d'oraisa if it was the tzarech achayla or a chaya yoledes who is beyond the 7 days. If, however, we learned the other girsa, the way like the Pahag, another Rishonim learn it, which is that the difference is whether I say the words or not. And so, I mean, in that case, we would have to say, because I wouldn't have been able to tell the guy anything. I mean, I would have been able to tell the guy anything because I don't do it. And if I don't do it, I'm allowed to say it, even if it was a tzarech mitzvah. So according to that girsa, I would have been able to tell the guy to heat up the water for the bris milah also. He doesn't make a distinction between the d'oraisa and the rabbanan. So he would have to take out the words in this gemara, take out the words nochri, and then it would be necham lei, we would be allowed, if the mother is ill, to warm up the water, because otherwise this would be a contradiction to the previous sugya, right? Okay, so it's telling me, therefore, that a Jew would be mutter to warm it up. Okay, this becomes an entire question, legabi, the needs of a chaya. In any event, Rav Mesharshia says to Rava, what do you mean, ask the mother? The mother is doing perfectly well. She's sitting watching TV and munching on popcorn. How could a woman who needs you to warm up hot water for her on Shabbos be munching on popcorn? It's ridiculous. I mean, she'd be killing herself on my lay. So he says to her, listen, you know, she may be so ill that she was even ready to drink Coca-Cola. I mean, it could be that she's lost her mind and that she doesn't even understand that she's killing herself. And that's why she's doing it. But then if you can catch her in a moment of sanity and ask her, are you feeling okay? She'll say, no, I'm dying. Okay, so then you can warm up some hot water for her, right? In this case, the popcorn looked more like dates. But the point is that she was eating stuff that someone who is so ill that they need you to be Mechal Shabbos is not something that you would be eating. Okay. Ahu Yanuka, and it was another mice. This is like the third mice we've had. Another case of a child whose water got spilled out. So Rava over here, he didn't live in the same chotzer. Rava lived in another chotzer that had a door between his chotzer and the other chotzer. But they didn't make an Erev. So he said to everybody, okay, do me a favor, take all the stuff that I need for Shabbos and move it into the back bedrooms. What they used to have in those days was that the front of the house was the area that the men used. And the private bedrooms were kept in the back of the house where there was no window that opened, other people could see. So for Tznia's purposes, the back bedrooms were kept for the women. So Rava said, do me a favor, put all my stuff in one of the back bedrooms, and that way I'm going to be Mavato Rishos, and that way at least I won't be near the door to walk out with something, not thinking. I want to make sure that I'm not going to come to carry. So take all my stuff and put it back into the girls' bedrooms. Okay, so they did that. And then I'll go, and I'm going to go live in that bedroom for Shabbos, and then I can be Mavato my Rishos. And if I'm Mavato my Rishos to the other chutzer, obviously, because we're trying to carry into the other chutzer, then everything will be okay. So then they'll be allowed to carry the hot water from my house to their house. Said Ravina, what do you mean? You can't be mavato to another chutzer. We just finished that whole sugya. Shmuel said, ain bit rishus b'chutzer b'chutzer. On my way. So Rava said, so Shmuel said, I paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. And remember, Rabbi Yochanan says, mevatin b'chutzer b'chutzer and mevatin from the chutzer to the churva, right? So, okay, so that's the way I hold. So what's your problem? So says Ravina, excuse me, but then if that's the case, if you don't hold of Shmuel, and you hold it, you can be mevato mechatzer lechatzer, so then you would even be allowed to just stay right where you are in the men's bedroom, in the front of the house, and what are you concerned about? That, like, maybe you'll forget? What are you going to forget? Because if you don't hold of Shmuel, there's another machlokas Rav and Shmuel about whether, if you were mevato rishus, can the people give you back the rishus? So if you don't hold of Shmuel, it says you can't get back your rishus. Once you're mevato rishus, it's over for Shabbos. Okay, then I understand. So you're worried. I mean, we still got another 5 hours until I'm going to be after Shabbos. Who knows? I'll forget and I'll carry. But if you don't hold of Shmuel, you hold of Rav. Oh, my Rav mevatlin v'chosin mevatlin. You're allowed to get it back. So give them 5 minutes, give them the rishus to your chatzar, and be mevato the rights to them, and then they'll take out the water, and then they'll return it. What's the big deal? No, says Rava, because in that I hold of Shmuel. So in that I hold that ain mevato v'chosin mevato. Says Ravina, that makes no sense. I was always convinced that these two issues are deeply interrelated. I'll explain to you why. I mean, they don't seem interrelated on the surface, but let's think about it, and we'll see why they are interrelated. V'lav chataymahu, I mean, doesn't it all come down to one issue? I mean, why did Shmuel say that ein mevatlin v'chozer mevatlin? The reason is, I'm assuming, I mean, I can imagine why else there would be a problem, because you could certainly be mevatlin rishus on Shabbos, so what's the problem of the people being mevatlin rishus back to you on Shabbos? It doesn't make any sense. I'll tell you what I understood always was that the moment that you were mevato, you're rishus, basically you have exited this chutzer, right? So it's as if you live in a different chutzer. And if you live in a different chutzer, then they can't give you back your rishus because ein mevatlin mechutzer lechutzer. Ha! So that would be entirely Shmuel-oriented. Shmuel holds ein mevatlin mechutzer lechutzer, says that since you legally turned yourself into a different chutzer by being mevatel all of your rights to this chutzer, there's no way to get them back to you. Because it would be as if you're now on Mars. How are we going to be mevatel to you on Mars? But I'm here. No, but legally you're not here. You're on Mars. And Shmuel says you can't be mevatel to people on Mars. So that would be the way I understood it. But now you're claiming that, no, actually you can be mevatel to people on Mars. So then why would you say, but I do hold of Shmuel, who says that you cannot be Chozer Mevatel? What's the reason? You must have a completely different understanding of Shmuel. And I thought it was Havilek Ben Chotzer Acheret, Vein Bitur Shus B'Chotzer L'Chotzer. So then you don't even need, if that's the case, you should not be able to give away the rights in the first place, because it's a different Chotzer. I mean, you got to make up your mind. You can't hold it this halfway. Nah, please, says Rav. What kind of fancy analysis, over-analysis. Oh, my God. Oh, it's very simple. The reason that Shmuel, man, Mars, how did Mars get into it? Shmuel was simply saying, if we allow people to be mevato the rishus, and then to get the rishus back, I mean, come on. Everybody's going to say, this is really, I mean, this whole thing is a joke. You'll be very cynical about it. Oh, you want to carry, so now you're giving up all of your, oh, 5 minutes later, you got all your rights back. Well, how convenient. You know, it looks awfully funny. We have a bad enough reaction to selling your chametz for Pesach. I mean, imagine what people are going to make out of this, of chozen u'mevatlin 20 times a day. When I want to carry, now it's my chutzner. When you want to carry, now it's your chutzner. I love the way these rabbis get around anything. Okay, so that's the reason that he answered it. Because kihechad lo having meal to the rabbanan, this is called chuka v'tulula. Is a kechuka v'tulula is a overall term that we use that we don't want things to look like clowning around, joking around and clowning around. And we are very makbid, even when something is doable technically, that it doesn't look good and it reduces the way that people act in terms of the importance that they ascribe to a rabbanan. And that's the issue. It has nothing to do with the actual din. Anyway, getting back.
Right now in the discussions in the Supreme Court, that's what a Jewish senator said, we do this in this way, you're making a joke, you're out of what the Supreme Court decides and what it is.
No, I'm not familiar with the case. Okay, says the Gemara, let's go back to the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, because it's interesting that there seems to be a much older Machlokas Tanoim that revolves around the same issue. I mean, do we have to say the Rav and Shmuel were actually talking about a Machlokas Tanoim? So Lema, Rav and Shmuel beplukta the Rabbanan verb Eliezer can be a flagate. Because Rav was saying like the Rabbana, that I'm going to explain all of this, but we basically had this before, where we the question is, remember, we argued about whether if you're mevatel the rights to the chatzar, you're being mevatel your rights to your own home. So that we had that machlokas before, that according to Reb Eliezer, if you're mevatel your rights to the chatzar, then you're also being mevatel the rights to your bias. And therefore, what's an afkamina l'alocha? Whether the people that you were mevatel rishus to are allowed to carry from the house, your house, into the chatzar. So if you were mevatel the rights of the bias to them, they can come into your house and they can carry between your house and the chatzar too. The rabbanan said, no, when you're mevatel, you're only mevatel your rights to the chatzar, not to the house. Now that would make sense that in this case, Rav holds yod like the rabbanan. You still have rights to your house. So if you still have rights to your house, just because you were mevatel rishus, we don't look at it as if you are now in another chotzer, whereas Shmuel, he holds actually like Reb Eliezer. And that would mean, now this would mean the way we're understanding it is that we're going back and we're saying that Rav would be meida, that you cannot be mevatel mechotzer lechotzer, not like Reb Yochanan. So since you were misalik yourself, you were not misalik yourself completely because you still live in the house. So therefore he says, mevata because I'm a mevata. Masha enken Shmuel holds that you ain't chozer mevatlin. That's because he also Reb Eliezer. That once you gave up your rights, so then you were mevata l'rshus even to your home. And if you're mevata l'rshus to your home, so then you really are living on Mars. And according to Shmuel, if you're living on Mars, then you can't get a bit of l'rshus. Maybe that's the machlokas. Nah, says the Gemara, there's nothing to do with this because Rav could say, listen, I could hold like anybody. I mean, I don't mind. I'm not telling you who I hold like. I mean, after all, you don't want to hold this against me for the election, right? I'm not going to tell you who I hold like, but I could hold like anybody. And I could tell you I hold even like Reb Eliezer, because all Reb Eliezer was saying is that we have to understand that by definition, a guy who's mevatel is his rishus. If he's only being mevatel or rishus to chatzar, it makes no sense. Because then it's a contradiction in terms. What is he saying? I still live here, but I have no rights in the area outside of my house. There's no such thing as a house that has no rights to the outside of the house. You live in a house like that. So mishum de babayit below chatzar lo dayre inche. The whole thing, therefore, is self-contradictory. That's the problem. But you think Reb Eliezer was actually saying that I don't live in my house means that I've moved out to Mars. And therefore, I can't get my rishus back from you. Ah, I mean, that's taking it too far. I think you're overanalyzing. Shmuel could say the same thing. I hold even like the Rabbanan. Okay? The only reason the Rabbanan said over there that you're not going to be mevatel the house is because you weren't mevatel the house. What does that have to do with our issue? What you were mevatel? Were you truly mevatel or not? Yes. So, my de batil batil, middle lo batil lo batil. But, I mean, part that you were Mevato, you basically moved out to Mars. So vis-a-vis the Chotzer, not vis-a-vis the house, but vis-a-vis the Chotzer, you're on Mars. So therefore you came Mevato, one Chotzer to another. This really has nothing to do with anything. Obviously, we could have made it all dependent on the Chuk of a Tlula issue again if we wanted to. We don't have to come on to that. Says Rav Acha, wait. I could come up with a Machlokas Tanoim that I think, actually, that is the Machlokas over here. Between Rav and Shmuel. And I would say, how about these Tanoim? The Mishnah says later on where somebody who was no Sein Rishus, so he's Mevato Rishuso, and then he goes and he carries something into the Chotzer, which he ostensibly had said, I'm not going to be doing that. And then he goes in, it goes right in and he does that, right? So now he went out and he was Motzi. Now, whether he was Motzi purposefully or without thinking about it, he just canceled his Bittul Rishus because he's showing that he has every intention to use the Chotzer. So, okay, so then the claim that I'm going to not be using the Chotzer is simply ridiculous. Now, this is talking about where, remember, a Bittul Rishus does not have any document backing it up. It does not have any act of Kinyan backing it up, right? So, therefore, if a guy just said, I am about to my Rishos, and then he goes back and he uses it. He's saying, I changed my mind. That's all. But once everybody else in the Chotzer, anybody else in the Chotzer, went ahead and was Marzik, his Rishos in the Chotzer, so then he can't go back anymore because that would be a Kinyan, the use of the Chotzer by the other people, and that was what was going on in the Mishnah, where remember, Malil said, Daddy said to us, go out there and use the Chotzer fast before this guy changes his mind. Okay, that's because that act is like a chazaka. Once there's a chazaka, so then you can't turn your back on the Kenyan because the Kenyan was already made. But up until that point, there's been nothing legal. There's just a statement of intent for all intents and purposes, which generally speaking was good enough for us. And we may do with it, but not if the guy changes his mind. And then it's mevatel his letter of intent. You can always be mevatel a letter of intent. Okay, so therefore, we have a machlokas like this. So if the guy did that, so Rabbi Meir says, look, if he took it out, and even though he didn't mean to, nonetheless, he just canceled the whole thing. And therefore, he answers everyone, so says Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, it depends. Depends whether he did it on purpose or whether he just wasn't thinking. I mean, if he did it on purpose, then he was mevatel his letter of intent. If not, not. So I, says Rav Acha Bar Chanina, I believe that we can use this machlokas to explain the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel. And we could say that, look, I mean, apparently it's Rabbi Meir who holds mevatlin v'chozrinu mevatlin. Because, I mean, since the guy changed his mind, even though it was b'shogeg, so even though he wasn't going out to be kaina, but, I mean, you're still, it's open the whole day. It's open. We can give it back to him. So we give it back to him. He took it back. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda apparently holds ein chozrinu. And ein mevatlin v'chozrinu mevatlin. So how can he go and take it back if he didn't actually mean to take it back? So then, why would it be a problem of saying he asers anyway? You're not allowed to just casually get it back, so he wouldn't be able to casually get it back. And therefore, I disagree with the Rebbe Meir. Omer v'acha bar tachlifu mishpei d'rava. Absolutely not. Why do you have to make it one machlokas? Maybe Kulei Alma is better than Ein Mevatlin U'Chozrin U'Mevatlin. Could be everybody agrees with Shmuel, you know? And the question over here about whether is there a difference between B'mezid or B'shogeg, that's just a question of Kansu Shogeg Atu Mezid Komifge. Now, gentlemen, remember that the concept of Kansu Shogeg Atu Mezid is found all over Shas. And it means that if we're going to answer something B'mezid, it usually means if somebody did something b'shogeg, then we give him the knas that we would have given to the mezid because we're worried that the whole thing will break down if we're not going to shogeg to mezid. As Tosis points out, utilizing that terminology over here is very misleading because there is no kontzu. The guy who took it back doesn't suffer in any way. and nor did he do anything wrong that we should be kones. We're talking about over here a borrowed terminology. It's the other people who are losing out, not him. So we can say, what did they do? I mean, oh, he went out and took back his rishus, therefore we're going to punish them. So normally kunsu means we fine, we punish, we do something for someone who did something unintentionally. This is clearly not what's meant over here. And what it means is that we're gazerin on shogegah tumeis. In other words, that since it's possible for him to go out of his way and take back his rishus, so therefore, effectively, by going out there and using it, he's telling you, yeah, well, you can all drop dead. I intend to be here. So obviously, you're not going to be able to make an Erev under those conditions where somebody who's got a house there is bringing his stuff out without the Erev, right? Okay. But that's the usage of the word konsur shogegah tumeis. It might serve a little konsur shogegah tumeis, except that it's not just a borrowed term. It's because of the sensitivity of the relationship of the shogeg case to the mazid case, which almost 99% of the time shows itself as a halacha in terms of a knas. So someone who normally holds konsur shogeg or to mazid is obviously more sensitive to the question of how we are going to end up in general dealing with the interrelationship of people's reactions to cases of shogeg versus mazid. And so therefore, it's not just that we're borrowing the terminology, it's that that terminology is indicative of how it is that I would view this case. Okay, so maybe that's what they're arguing in. Rav Ashi says, listen, I like that first pshat that you came up with. I like it that they're arguing what we said about the machlokas Rebbe Eliezer and the Rabbanan, and about how much have you given away. Have you given away your house and that makes you a Mars residence, or have you not given up your house? I think that was good. I mean, look, you know, you can say, obviously you can say there are other, these other things are involved, but you don't have to. Anyway, so let's just get that last piece of the mission. It was so confusing. So Rebbe Gamliel all of a sudden starts saying something that we weren't even talking about. I mean, we were talking about a nochri and a kuti, a misha eno moda be'eruv, right? And it comes along Rabbi Gamliel, and he says, well, there was a maisa with a tzeduki that lived in our chotzer. Tzeduki? What the heck does a tzeduki have to do with the discussion in the Mishnah? Tzeduki, mandach hashmei, whoever mentioned the tzeduki around here? We were talking about nochrim or kusim before the gezerah that made them kenochrim l'chol davar, but they're an identifiable different nation where there's similarity to goyim and machlokas about whether they're gerei arayis or not. That was what we were talking about. Says the Gemara, no. It's true that the Mishnah didn't mention tzeduki, but that's because you are meant to fill in the missing words after you hear the sefer of the Mishnah with the Rambam Leo. So obviously the Mishnah is chisuri mechasra, and this is what it should have said. And tzeduki, areyu kenochri, insert those words and continue. Rabbi Gamliel says, no, tzeduki eino kenochri, and therefore I want to tell you this story. The story is that in my time, my father told us, Amar Rabbi Gamliel, there was a maisebet tzeduki echad who lived with us in the same place in Yerushalayim, was the same mavui, and Abba once told us, you better go out and use that mavui, and therefore make that kinyan, so to speak, with the chazakah, before this guy goes out and pulls back, because otherwise he could always cancel his bittul. So by being marzik in his rights, then he won't be able to cancel his bittul. And that means that the tzeduki has not been given it in like a nochri, because a nochri cannot be mevatel rishus, obviously. And the kuti cannot be mevatel rishus. So I'm bringing a riot to you from my father that the din is not like that, and that a tzeduki, in fact, is not like a nochri. And you see clearly from the braita on the Mishnah that that's the correct approach to the Mishnah, because the braita says, Vatanya, as it says in the braita, hadar im, note how the braita says it differently than the Mishnah, hadar im nochri tzeduki baitusi hare elo osrim alav. And Rabbi Gamliel says, not true. A nochri is osir alav, but a tzeduki baitusi is not osir alav. Now, the braita says another maisa, where actually it had to do with Rabbi Gamliel himself, as opposed to Rabbi Gamliel's father. Here, Rabbi Gamliel takes on the role of the father in this Mishnah, in this braita. And the maisa in the braita is like this. There was a maisa, but tzeduki echad, that actually lived with Rabbi Gamliel himself, not with Rabbi Gamliel when he was a kid and lived with our family, like Rabbi Gamliel reports it in the Mishnah. This one was living with Rabbi Gamliel as an adult, and it was in the Mavli. And this time, Rabbi Gamliel said to his children that Amar Lahem, Rabbi Gamliel, Levanav. So he had been Mevatel Rishos. So Rabbi Gamliel told his children, hey, kids, Banai, hurry up and take out something or bring in whatever you need to bring in before this Ta'uv or Ta'ev, this nauseating guy, before he goes ahead, the monster, and he answers the Mavli, because take use of him right now. Sha'are Bitel, it's good that for a moment we got this idiot to be Mevatel Rishos Alechem, you know, so take advantage of it now, because if he goes ahead and uses the Chatzar before you do that, you're going to be all messed up, and we're not going to be able to get anything in and out of the Chatzar over Shabbos. So says Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir reports that the whole Maisa was that Gufer of Gamliel was obviously arguing with the Tanakama, and he holds that a Tzeduki can be Mevatel Rishos, and the only question is, you have to be Marzik in the Rishos before he changes his mind. Masha Einkein, Rabbi Yehuda in the Braita, said, no, that's not what Rabbi Gamliel said. He said, Maharu v'asu tzorcheichem b'mavui ad shelo techashach v'yesor alecha. He said, this guy's Bitul Rishus is useless because for all intents and purposes, as far as I'm concerned, the guy isn't even Jewish and he cannot be Mevatel Rishus to you. And therefore, you better hurry up and take care of whatever you need to take care of before Shabbos. That's the point. Because the moment that Shabbos is Chal, it's going to be Usser, even though he was Mevatel Rishus. And therefore, before it gets dark, Ad Shelo Techshach, it's time for you to go ahead and take out. So I just want to get this straight. In other words, but if you do take out, let me analyze Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir said, take out whatever you can, or bring in something, whatever. But do something before this damn mamzer comes along. By the way, you see over here that you're allowed to use a language about somebody, even though it seems to be irrelevant, right? Why is he calling this person this rotten, no good Nick, and so on? I'm just saying, because it doesn't mean that this is generally a correct way to speak. But since over here, the whole problem is, remember, what was the basis of the Gezerah of not allowing the Nochri to be Mevatel Rishos? Shema Yilmad Mima'asav. So if the issue is Shema Yilmad Mima'asav, so then if you are saying that this guy is allowed to be Mevatel Rishos, you're opening the door to Yilmad Mima'asav, right? So therefore, he felt it necessary to tell his children, just remember, this guy's a no-good mamzer, and don't you ever think about his doing anything right. So you can't derive from here a general modality of speech, but you can derive that in a case where there's a chashash that people will take seriously what someone that they're not meant to take seriously will say, then in even a casual reference to him, you're allowed to call him this monstrosity, whatever words you want to call him, in order to make sure that they won't learn from him. But anyway, so the implications are, the way Rabbi Meir reports the story, is that if they, meaning his kids, had gone out and brought something in from the Chatzar right after Shkia, before this guy does, or they had taken out something, and then he would have come and be carried out, so then he wouldn't have asserted? Is that what you're saying? That once you're machzik, the tzeduki cannot aser your rishos? But later on the Mishnah says, Mishinatan rishuto, vahotzi, bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid, oser. Whoa! And that was Rabbi Meir. Now I'm really confused. You're telling me Rabbi Meir says that what Rabbi Gamliel said was that once we're machzik, then it won't matter what he does. And Rabbi Meir himself says later on that if the guy went ahead and he had given rishus, and then he goes ahead and he's motzi bein b'shogeg bein b'mezid, that it's overs and the bitul rishus is butel. So how do we make this work with what we said before? I don't understand. Okay, now obviously there's a problem over here, because the way that we understood the statement was only that it was referring to the case where the children had not gone out and been zocher. It doesn't say over here that Rabbi Meir says that even though the people in the chatzar had already been machzik, that he can do whatever he wants. Before we had the same wording, And we said that it only was talking about the case where they hadn't gone out and been, because it was all a statement of intent. And he could always take back a statement of intent. But where do you learn from that, that even if they went out and were marzik and it wasn't just a statement of intent? This is weird. Now, this means that there's an entire between the text discussion that is going on about how to read these words and understand them properly, which we'll talk about Bezrat Hashem next time we get together to learn. So let's just finish the discussion so that we could see how that problem becomes part of what it is that we're discussing. So Rav Yosef says, look, there's no way out of this. I mean, this is crazy. You're right. It's a complete contradiction. It should say that Rabbi Meir is the one who said, Eino Oser. And then it would be consistent with what Rabbi Meir just said here. Abaye says, I don't understand what your problem is. Didn't we say that there's a difference between being machzik or not being machzik, right? So why can't we simply say, Rabbi Gamliel said, beferish, and Rabbi Meir said, all that Rabbi Gamliel said was, make sure that you go ahead and you're machzik. And over here in the Mishnah, all it says is, without defining whether they had been machzik or not, all it says is you could take back your rishus. So I don't understand what your problem is. One is referring to where he was, in the children were machzik, and the other people were machzik. So yichziku b'nei mavui b'mavui. And in the Mishnah, we're talking about shelo yichziku b'nei mavui b'mavui. Couldn't that be the simple way of learning? And I mean, isn't that obvious from the Braita? It says in the Braita, ad shelo natan reshuto hotzi, bein b'shogeg bein b'mezid yochol levatel. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda omer, b'shogeg yochol levatel, b'mezid eino yochol levatel. So it seems very clearly that it says that if he was motzi, then it wouldn't matter. He could still be mevatel reshus. Now, what in the world is that supposed to mean? If he was motzi before he was natan reshus ohotzi, I mean, obviously, before natan reshus ohotzi. So this is talking about a completely different case that makes it even more confusing. What we're talking about over here is whether the guy was willing to be Mechalel Shabbos b'mezid by being motzi. That's a different issue, whether a Mechalel Shabbos is able to be Mevatel Rishos, or whether he has a din of a goy, right? So, I mean, this Gemara is like, it seems to be nutty. First we assume something, then we say, we assume the opposite and assume it's a contradiction. Then Abaye says, why do we assume it's a contradiction? Isn't there a difference? And then we bring a riot to the difference by introducing a completely new sugya, which is somebody who's Mechalel Shabbos. Like, what in the world is going on? So as you review this over Shabbos and prepare the next sugya, take into consideration that there's some kind of irvuv inyanim here and that we're going to need to work out what was the context for these different textual assumptions.